Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we welcome you back to another episode of The New World Next Week, where, of course, you can find everything you need at NewWorldNextWeek.com. James, all three of our stories, we will look to the future this week as summer now officially begins and the year is nearly halfway over. We'll begin with DSLReports.com with the latest on this story. ISP 6 strikes to begin this weekend on July 1st. Last summer, major ISPs, including Comcast, AT&T, Verizon, and Cablevision, signed off on a new plan by the RIAA and the MPAA taking aim at copyright infringers on their networks. According to the plan, after four warnings, ISPs are to begin taking mitigation measures, which range from throttling a user connection to filtering access to websites until users acknowledge receipt of educational material. As you might expect, that educational material chapter on fair use rights likely won't exist. The plan, as with most plans of this type, was hashed out privately with the government's help, but with no consumer or independent expert insight. As a result, groups like the EFF say the plan has massive problems, like relying on the IP address as proof of guilt, placing the burden of proof on the consumer while forcing users to pay a $35 fee if you'd like to try and protest your innocence. While it's taken some time, it now appears that the project is poised to officially begin July 1st. According to RIAA boss Kerry Sherman, most of the involved ISPs are ready to implement their piracy counterattack this weekend, though different ISPs will again take different approaches in handling repeat offenders. Granted, the lion's share of pirates will simply VPNs and proxies, with the end result being no real dent on piracy, but even higher broadband rates as ISPs pass on the cost of these countermeasures to all consumers, pirates or not. Now, the Kerry Sherman quote goes back to a CNET News article. RIA chief notes ISPs to start policing copyright on July 1st. James?
Well, at least three interesting aspects from this story to pick up on. The first being that this goes further into hardwiring into law the precept that you are personally criminally responsible for everything downloaded via an IP address that you own, which has all sorts of tricky legal ramifications and I think is something that people should be questioning. Secondly, as that article points out, pirates are just going to use VPNs and proxies, so this does absolutely nothing at base to actually get to the root of the problem, assuming it is a problem, assuming intellectual property is not just some figment of the RIAA's collective imagination that they are trying to enforce through the big stick of big government. But thirdly, I think the most important thing for people out there to keep in mind is when you give your money to a Comcast or whatever ISP that you're signing up with, if you are giving them money to give you a service in which they're going to be treating you like a criminal and monitoring all your traffic to look out for your alleged copyright violations, then you are endorsing that. We choose with our dollars what we want to do, and if you are giving money to that company that does that, then you are absolutely complicit in this. And that's the point that has to be taken away from this, because people might cry out, oh, for mommy or daddy government to come in and solve every problem, but the real changes begin at home, and if you give your money over to this system, then you are helping to bring that system into effect. So either go with a different ISP, or if there's no other alternative, just wait for one to come, because ultimately we have to start saying no to this system when we can, and if we don't put our foot down and if we don't say no, it will never change in a way that's constructive or helpful. It will only ever go worse than what it is right now. So once again, the solution starts with you. The solution starts by looking in the mirror and choosing what you will or won't support.
James, will include information about VPNs, virtual private networks, I believe that's off the top of my head, and proxy networks and a lot of that kind of techie background information. I think a positive to this would maybe be that piracy ultimately is down, and people, you know, if not VPNs or proxies, they'll just move off, you know, to SoundCloud or Tumblr or a million other platforms to be able to share information. Information is free. And I think ultimately a lot of piracy is down because, for the most part, we don't want a bunch of their Hollywood corporate crap anyway. All sucks. Now, James, I think you said IPS. We've got a lot of acronyms on this episode. So on our second story this week, we'll move to New Zealand, and we'll take it from stuff.co.nz as well as Fairfax New Zealand News. New Zealand sex offenders to be tracked by satellite. Tracking high-risk sex offenders in real time using satellite technology will give peace of mind to the public, Corrections Minister Anne Talley says. The 24-hour global positioning system, GPS, will be rolled out from August in time to keep tabs on serial sex offender Stuart Murray Wilson, known as the Beast of Blenheim. Real-time monitoring using ankle bracelets will track the movements of offenders in the community. Correction staff will be alerted and could intervene if offenders strayed into exclusion zones, such as parks, schools, and other specific locations, if they break curfew. From August 11th, my birthday, child sex offenders currently on extended supervision orders or on parole with special conditions would be tracked. This would rise to 90 by the end of the year and by 200 by next year. Talley said the tracking would cost $750,000 in the first year, and I'm not sure if that means total or for every individual person they're going to track. A contract for the technology and monitoring would go out to tender next year. Talley said, quote, "We need to stay one step ahead of these people, and this proactive approach with more advanced technology allows us to reduce the risks to the public," end quote. But I know you're asking, how can they be able to do this? The government won't need to introduce any new laws. Existing legislation already allows corrections to use GPS to monitor an offender's whereabouts if the parole board, a sentencing judge, imposes a special condition. James, we can grab a couple of related flashbacks, because this, I think, falls under that category of, hey, that kind of sounds like a good idea. HIV/AIDS patients in Papua may be tracked with microchips, or GPS tracking in monitoring dementia or Alzheimer's patients. Those going back to 2008 and 2009. The slippery slope, James.
Absolutely. Well, firstly and most importantly, happy birthday, James. Secondly, still importantly, notice how this is rolled out as an agenda in every place around the world. It doesn't matter where, they always roll it out with, well, if you don't like this, then you're clearly for sex offenders. Or once you've accepted that level, well, yeah, I think, you know, sex offenders, obviously, serial repeat, horrible Beast of Blenheim sex offenders, we have to keep tabs on them. Well, then how about AIDS patients? Because they might be going around spreading their AIDS willy-nilly. Well, okay. Well, how about Alzheimer's patients? Because, you know, they might not want to be tracked, but they might not know where they are. Well, okay. And it's every single step along the way, exactly as you say, it's the slippery slope. Well, okay, let's extend it to this part of the population. Let's extend it to that part of the population. And eventually it gets to the point where there's some sort of disaster and everyone's herded into FEMA camps and electronically tagged because it's martial law. And again, I mean, these types of scenarios look less and less ridiculous with each indoctrination into the system that we get. So once again, I think we have to be asking the questions at a societal level whether we want this technology. And I think it's also interesting how they roll it out as if it's this big unwieldy ankle bracelet because they have no better way of doing this. Yeah, right. I think obviously the technology is rolled out and introduced to the public as this type of very special thing, and it'll only be for sex offenders. Meanwhile, they're already working behind the scenes for the microchips that'll be implanted directly in your body that will track you everywhere you go. So I think, again, this is just part of the indoctrination and the rollout. And as you say, it's the slippery slope.
Uh-huh. Now, James, I think you may have misunderstood me. I wasn't saying it's my birthday now. I was saying August 11th when they officially roll this out in New Zealand is my birthday. Exactly. Our third and final story this week will have a little PFS. From allgov.com, tax-exempt churches plan to engage in illegal electioneering. On October 7th, 2012, hundreds of conservative political activists will intentionally violate federal law by engaging in illegal electioneering, despite the presence of a law on the books since 1954 that forbids them from doing so. They believe, apparently correctly, that the mere fact that they are religious clerics will prevent them from being prosecuted despite the fact that they intend to provide the government with documentary evidence of their lawbreaking. Welcome to Pulpit Freedom Sunday, a political movement first organized in 2008 by the Conservative Alliance Defense Fund to oppose the candidacy of Barack Obama. Federal and state laws have long exempted charitable organizations, including churches, temples, mosques, etc., from taxation, which adds up to about a $25 billion government subsidy for churches each year. In exchange, charities are prohibited from participating in political campaigns, either for or against candidates for public office, although they may advocate positions on public issues. In 2008, 33 pastors participated by urging their congregants from the pulpit to vote against Obama. By 2011, the number participating had grown to 539, and organizers hope to break 1,000 this election year. Selection year. In closing from this article, which I, again, implore on all of these levels to go check these things out, we'll provide the links for you to go read it yourself and do more research and make up your own mind. Although the pastors participating contend that theirs is a constitutional issue involving both their free exercise of religion and their free speech rights, other religious leaders argue that the issue is really about the true Lord and Savior, money. Some pastors feel they must politic from the pulpit. They should play by the rules and give up their tax exemptions. More from Reuters and Patheos on this story, James.
Well, this is interesting, isn't it? It's, all, of course, an extension of the whole bait and switch which the government has pulled over the past century or so, where, yeah, of course you can be tax exempt. Just sign these forms and we'll register you. And, oh, by the way, you have no free speech. So, obviously, it's been a colossal trick that's been played. And, unfortunately, so many people have bought into it and played along with it and gone along with it. It's good to see people exercising their free speech en masse in a way that will be absolutely in the face of the authorities, and they won't be able to do anything about it because they won't risk cracking down on all these pastors and people, which is, I mean, it's good. People should exercise their free speech and they should say whatever they think. And if they believe Romney 2012 or Obama or Obamney or whichever puppet is going to be the savior, well, go ahead and say that at your pulpit. And I, again, I think that free speech on the whole is something that, as a society, Americans should not be afraid of and should be willing to stand up and fight for. So the whole tax-exempt issue is something else entirely, but certainly in terms of free speech, I mean, people got to stand up and speak out on issues that they believe in. And that's why they can't, buy into these bait-and-switch schemes to be registered by the government in order to claim things that they've always had. It's always been the privilege. Why would they have to register in order to get this?
And I think in that way, all of these stories kind of all really connect. James, on all of these levels, again, will provide all of the information as churches get political. IRS stays quiet. My one question, and I need to dive more into this. They've sent the IRS video of themselves doing the Pulpit Freedom Sunday, and I'm not sure exactly why they've done that. And it's any kind of like, maybe it's some kind of bragging rights. But all that we'll have to see, James, as we kind of dive in and arrive at the long, hot summer here. So in closing, we'll invite folks again to join us for Food World Order coverage on Corbett Report Radio, James.
And I just want to let people know about a story that's breaking as we record this on Wednesday evening in the U.S. New record levels of radiation detected at Fukushima Reactor 1. So I'm going to be covering that on FukushimaUpdate.com. People can stay tuned for that.
All right, man. Thanks so much. Take care.
Take care.